Hello everyone, welcome back to my YouTube channel. This will also be posted as a podcast if you are tuning in from that platform. So today is going to be a big conversation. It's going to be a big story, big story time. I don't know how long this conversation will go on for, but I just know it's a big piece and it's something that means a lot to me. It's really sacred. It has been one of the most transformative experiences that I have taken on as a personal milestone into my coaching profession. So I'm really excited to share with you this story today. And you'll probably notice that from time to time, you'll see me tuning into my heart space so that I can fully capture the energy that this story wants to be told through. So I'm gonna do my best to take my time to really follow the energy and express what needs to be told. So I feel like this is a story, like a legendary story. Like to me, it feels so legendary and it feels like this is a story of a once in a lifetime experience. This is a story that is so sacred. So with that being said, let's begin. So when I tune into the energy of this story, the message that came out from my heart was this story is about an awakening journey. This story is about one's personal awakening journey, a spiritual, personal, you know, a place in the world, right, for someone awakening to themselves, their true purpose, the spirit of their soul, their truest essence. And this story carries not only the peaks of, oh, well, that was, you know, just you want to awaken and boom, it just awakens. But this story carries a trail of the downs and the ups. And it does eventually lead to a beautiful quote-unquote ending, but on the way to the ending, it's quite challenging. And I wanted to share all of the challenges as well as the serendipity that happened along the way, because I feel that every single synchronicity is really the universe guidance in a person's soul. And in this story, it is my own. All right, so let's begin. In 2021, I was running an Amazon FBA business. And after about one year that I was running this business, I started to realize that this wasn't something I wanted to continue. When I realized that this business was no longer a match, like something suitable for me, even though I had invested, I think by that point, $10,000, as well as having my best friend invested, I think another $5,000. To some people, it's not a lot. To some, it's their whole savings. Regardless, there was an investment into the business. And at the time, it was a lot for me. It feel like it was my first business. It's a lot of an investment. And how could I dare to, quote unquote, I mean, wanting to quit it after 1 year. But when I had this realization that this wasn't the business for me, there was something more, that's when I started to feel really depressed. I spent the next 3 months feeling extremely lost, feeling extremely beaten up because I felt like I was beating myself up the whole time. I asked myself, why am I not continuing? Why am I quitting this thing that I had invested so much time, energy, effort, and I even had a vision of succeeding at it. So why am I not pursuing it? And at the time, my best friend, who happened to also be my roommate and my business partner, was also in this with me. And her on the receiving end was quite difficult because, you know, she had joined the business. We had had a shared vision together of taking it to more milestones than at least here. And here I was expressing to her that I didn't want to do this anymore. It was very heartbreaking for her and for myself to express it. So in that period of time, in the 3 months, I was honestly feeling so down, so beaten up. I pretty much spent most of my days at home and sleeping and eating and feeling like I'm kind of like a zombie, almost like just didn't feel like I had any spirit of life in me. And months later, when I was reading a book by Bill Plotkin called Soulcraft, I realized that stage, the 3 months that I was suffering and struggling a lot, feeling really down, really depressed, that stage was called the Death Lodge. How he describes the Death Lodge is it's a period of time when everything that you've desired in like the human world, your egoistic desire, right? It started to crumble. It started to crumble because your ego has developed and matures, and it started to crumble all of the things that it has built. And the calling is that there's something greater within the soul that is trying to be birthed, but it cannot be birthed without going through this death lodge. And of course, at the time when I was going through it, I had no idea what I was going through. I really just felt so lost. I didn't know how I was gonna figure myself out. I felt extremely lost. If you can relate to what I'm saying, you probably have felt lost in your life, at least at some point. You didn't know what to do. There's a lack of clarity, a lack of direction, a lack of motivation even. And that was really where I was. And that is very unlike me because even though I have zero Capricorn in my chart, I think it's zero or pretty much like non-existent. My personality and the way that I go about life is very Capricorn-like. I'm very hardworking, ambitious, and very career-oriented. But yeah, anyway, so that's very unlike me to have any, having no motivation to, like be a pursue my fitness goal or my business goals, etc. So that was a big sign that was happening at the time. And what I ended up wanting to do or thought about was, maybe a trip to Costa Rica is going to be the right thing for me. At that time, I really wanted to find a place where I can be close to nature, I can connect with, just Mother Earth and really the spiritual realm. And I knew that nature was the pathway to reconnecting with myself, what's called, also our wild self. Kind of like wilding myself and just reconnecting back with the spiritual realm. Because at that time, I felt like I was very much deep in the materialistic world, the physical world, and I was really far away from my spiritual self. But at the same time, I think there was a greater calling of integrating that spiritual essence into my day-to-day life. So I bought a one-way ticket to Costa Rica. I really didn't know how long I was gonna go for. I had assumed that I might go for 6 months or maybe 3 months. I had no idea. I just bought a one-way ticket and I thought, okay, let's just go. I don't have a plan. I have a rough plan of where I want to visit, but really, like, no itinerary. I wanted the universe to show me signs. I wanted the universe to just take the lead. I wanted to surrender. And I remember that before I left for my trip, I had a dream. And in this dream, a guide of like a white figure with a white beard, very similar to, those fairy tale stories where there's this like this white beard human being that's old that comes in and tells you the things to look for in your life kind of thing. So I had that person coming into my dream, and he said, "I'm gonna give you three signs to look out for on your journey. The first sign is a butterfly. The second sign is a white feather. And I believe the third sign was a seashell." So I thought, okay, cool, interesting. I woke up from that dream and I thought, all right, I'm gonna look for those signs. But it's like I didn't have anything else much more than that. So I just thought, okay, cool, like that's something I'm gonna keep in mind. Fast forward, I was traveling Costa Rica for about 2 months now, and still feeling quite lost. I started to settle down in this place called Dominical, and I was living with my friend at the time. And it just so happened that one day I was having breakfast at our hotel, and I saw that she was talking to someone. So I went up to them, I said, "Hey, how's it going? My name is this, nice to meet you," blah, 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 making small talk, small conversation. And somehow the conversation kind of went to ayahuasca. I had told that stranger whom I just met, I said, I was thinking about doing ayahuasca, and I know in Costa Rica they have a lot of wonderful retreats, and I asked him for a recommendation. And that story actually opened up a whole can of worms. So he started to share with me about his own journey from working at I believe it was JP Morgan. He was doing very well, working, climbing to the top of the corporate ladder. And what he realized was that he was actually sucking his soul. Like he didn't have any life and soul left to do the job. So after that, he actually went into the spiritual path. And now I want to use the term spiritual in a very vague way because spiritual is not just about plant medicine, right? Spirituality can mean all different things to everyone. But in this case, I'm speaking on his definition of his own spiritual path. And at the time, it was interacting and engaging with plant medicine. And after doing so, he essentially created a new life that was spiritually and materially integrated. And so, anyway, he's got a lot of experience with plant medicines and people who host, right? Plant medicine women's and men's and the hosts and etc. So he was sharing with me that nearby our hotel, oops, my car just fell. Nearby our hotel is a wonderful retreat that's been hosting by this married couple who's been hosting for I think 7 years. They grow their own plants. They kind of do everything from A to Z, and many, many positive reviews. So I thought, oh wow, like how synchronistic. And okay, I said, I'm going to sign up. So I went on their website, I contacted them. There was a retreat that was happening in 3 days. And I messaged the woman and I said, listen, if there's any spot left, I would love to go. And she said, yes, there is a couple of spots left. We have a spot for you. You can come in 3 days. Usually the preparation takes about 7 to 10 days for you to like cleanse your body, eating vegetarian food, no alcohol, no drugs, etc. So I said, listen, I've been following that rule for pretty much the past 2 months, so I'm good. Like I'm pretty much ready. I'm prepped. She said, awesome. So I signed up for the retreat that was happening in 3 days, and I paid her, and I realized the retreat is like 10 minutes from my hotel. So this was extremely just insane in terms of the synchronicity. And so the night before I went to that retreat, I had had dinner with that stranger again. And this time he brought his friend. And we had very deep conversations about their own experience with ayahuasca. And they were very strong on not sharing too much with me. They wanted me to have a very open experience. The key that they said was, it doesn't matter whose stories you hear because you're gonna go into it and you're gonna have your own experience. And any experience that you have is perfect for you. So I said, okay, cool. I don't need to listen anymore. I'm just gonna go in with a complete open mind. So on the day, I arrived to the center, right? Just got taxi, arrived to the center, and a girl with blonde hair. She looks like she's been in the jungle for a while. Like she just feels very free, kind of like the wild woman, like with her hair, a little messy, braided, free spirited. And I was like, okay, I feel like I've entered the right place. So she said to me, "Hey, you're gonna be staying in the butterfly room." And I looked at her and I said, "Did you just say the butterfly room?" And she said, "Yes, the butterfly room. But if you don't want to stay there, we have other rooms that you can stay." I said, No, I didn't say that. I want to stay in the butterfly room, but I'm just wondering, like, what other rooms do you have?" She's like, "Yeah, well, we have the toucan room, the other room, and this and this and this." And I was like, Yeah, no, I want to stay in the butterfly room." And in that moment, I was actually really shocked because in my dream, the guide had told me to look for the three signs, and one of them was a butterfly. So when she told me, "You're staying in the butterfly room," inside of me, my stomach just like dropped. It's like, did she just really say that? Like, how many rooms are in this place? Or is all the room called butterfly? Like, I need to know if this is real. I felt like I was dreaming in a way. And when it was confirmed, I was like, whoa, like I'm staying in the butterfly room? Like, this is kind of wild, you know? It's like, how could it be so synchronistic or synchronous or whatever the word, you know, serendipitous. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna stay in the butterfly room. And I was the only one staying in that room. At the time, it was still kind of like, yeah, it was still like people were recovering from COVID, so each person had their own room, even though each room had like three beds. So I was staying in my own room, and this was when the most magical, unexplainable, intense experience of awakening began for me. And today, when I was tuning in and asking for, you know, the spirit of this energy, of this transmission, this card came out. And the card is Rise. And when I put pull this card, I was like, well, I knew that the topic for today was going to be about sharing this story, but I wanted to like tune deeper into the energy of this message and this story. So when I pull this card, Rise, I was like, oh my God, like this is the energy of exactly my experience. So on the first, there are two ceremonies. So out of the 5 to 7 days, there are two ceremonies where we sit and we drink the plant medicine and we have our journey. So on the first day, you know, in a circle, the plant medicine woman would say, "What is your intention for sitting here?" And on that day, I said, "My intention is that I would like to know who I am." And I know it sounds like such a simple question, but I think when I asked that, it was like a very deep inquiry of like, who am I deep inside, you know? So on that first sitting, I said, "I would like to know who I am." And everyone stated their intention, and then we began. So after drinking about 2.5 cups of medicine, everyone said that it tasted really bad, but I actually really loved the taste. I don't know why, but I absolutely loved it. I feel like I could actually drink way more than I did. But obviously, I am quite lightweight for a human being, and I like to take things slow. So I took 2.5, and I said, you know, I'm somebody who's gentle, who's gonna take it slow. That's all I did, but it tasted amazing for me. I think it was about an hour later or so, people started puking and like having all these weird symptoms. And I was like, damn, like the thought in my head at the time was, I'm really afraid that I'm gonna throw up. Like, you know, the feeling of throwing up, it's something that I haven't experienced since drinking alcohol once in high school, grade 12, and like literally puking all over the bathroom floor. So for me, thinking about throwing up is like I'm thinking of grade 12 me in high school throwing up in the bathroom after a night of drinking. I'm like, ugh, like I don't want to do that, right? It feels painful, like yucky. But I was like, you know what? This is what I sign up for. Like if I have to throw up, I have to throw up. I don't know, like I can't control it. But in the whole experience, I actually never threw up and nothing crazy happened to me. But in terms of, like physical symptoms. So, the experience on my first day was something that it took my breath away. It took my breath away. The way it's funny that I'm expressing that because the experience actually helped me to connect so deeply with my body. Now, given sharing a little bit of my background with you, 3 years prior to this, 3 to 4 years, I was practicing Vipassana meditation, and our main practice was to examine our body, right? Focusing on our breathing and examine our body from the inside out, just really scanning and examining our body. So when I was sitting in that first circle of ayahuasca, I had one of the deepest, most transformative freaking meditation in my whole entire life. I'm pretty sure I sat there for about 5 hours straight, where I'm just literally, my eyes are closed, and I'm journeying inside of my body, where I felt like I was in such a deep meditation. I was so connected with my breath. It felt like me and my breath, we were like best friends. You know how in normal day life, you're just breathing like, oh yeah, whatever. Like you don't think about your breath, like you don't think about the fact that you're breathing because it's automatic. But in that session, it feels like I was like best friends with my breath and we were connecting with each other. And the reason why that experience is so powerful is because I started to realize the connection that I have with myself and my physical body. It felt like my internal mental being, the invisible being, was so intertwined and connected with the physical being, the visible being. So it was this union of the invisible and the visible, and also the union of the spirit and the physical. And it was just this beautiful interaction. And I felt like, wow, like this is out of this world. And so, there was no hallucination. There was no like images of snakes or whatever that came up for me. It was a very peaceful, a deep trance of meditation. And I remember I even felt my blood flow. It was so deep that I felt as if I was traveling inside my body. I could feel my blood flow just like running through my veins and it traveling from my heart to my arms and my chest and my legs and all over my body. And I felt like I was just traveling in my body. And I remember this vivid feeling and understanding that my body was this, it feels like a machine. It feels like there was kind of like, how do you say those? Like the working machines, right? Like in the, what is it called? The engine. I feel like there were engines that were running and it just felt so organic and it felt so, it just flows. It's like, wow, like the body is this magnificent thing. It just works on its own. It's so magical and it's like, I can't believe it. So that was my first day. It was very scientific. I feel like if I was a doctor or a nurse, like I would have really taken that experience to like medical terms. But that first experience was just so scientific. It was so body-based, very physical, yet also spiritual. I didn't receive any kind of personal insights in terms of who I am or anything like that. It was just a very meditative experience. So I remember the second time that we sat down. The medicine woman asked once again, "What is your intention for our sitting today?" And I remember I said, "My intention today is that I'm just having fun." I was completely letting go of my questions, who am I? The aspirations of knowing anything at all, right? Like I just let it all go. I said, "I just want to have fun today. I don't want to have any expectations, really. It's just, I just have fun." Same thing. took about 2.5 cups, and this time I actually fell asleep for a good like 30 minutes to an hour. And when I woke up, the whole place was already really quiet, and everyone was kind of like in their own bubble. And the, you know, we were sitting on the top of a mountain. And if you know Costa Rica, right, the remote areas are super remote. There's no one there. It's just us, like the group, in, on top of a mountain. And we were in this place called the Shiva Temple. And so it was a beautiful place, very sacred feelings. You can hear the waterfall sound from the distant, the distance. You can hear like the jungle sounds of, you know, insects, right, at night. It feels really open and extremely sacred. And I believe that night was also the full moon. So you can see like clearly the moonlight just shining everything down into like this valley of jungle and waterfall. It was very beautiful. So I don't even know how this all came about, but I remember I was not really feeling much. Like, I was just there. I'm like, okay, yeah, nothing's happening, cool, whatever, da da. I'm listening to the music of the people singing and playing instruments. I'm looking at the fire, right, the fireplace in the middle. I'm like, yeah, whatever, da da. Then I started walking up to this dog. We had a big dog there. He's huge. He's this furry, big dog. I just walked up to him and I started petting him. And I just sat there enjoying the music. And then there's this one song that came up. This song literally was like this key opening, freaking personal awakening, spiritual awakening experience of my entire, like how it freaking, the coaching path started for me and how I basically took a huge leap in what I was doing. The song went like this. It was like, what are the lyrics? I'm gonna read the lyrics because I don't feel confident singing it. It's just, I know I'm gonna mess up the notes. Maybe I can find the song. Let me see. It's called I Am a Child of the Universe. Okay, I think I got it. Okay, I got it. So the medicine woman was singing this song and I literally had a freaking, like, I feel as if my whole life just was, like, I can't even, like, it's just my whole life opened up. And some people say I touch what's called the Akashic Record when, you know, you're like downloading your whole soul knowledge, and I feel like that's exactly what it was. Because after, like, after I had this experience, I woke up and was like, I need to do this. I need to be a coach. I need to do exactly this thing that has been calling me deep inside. And it's true, I wasn't meant to do the freaking Amazon business, because I absolutely, number one, I didn't like it. Number two, it's just not for me. It's not what I'm meant to do. So this whole experience. Okay, I'm going to read out the lyrics. Here is a little history of a bigger mystery. I have written this story into my song. If it is not what you're used to, I hope it will amuse you. And maybe if you'll choose to, then you'll sing along. I am as old as the universe. I've been here before and I'll be here again. I am a child of the universe, a part of all women and a part of all men. Once upon a time, once upon a somewhere, and once upon a somehow, there was a big bang. Energy evolving, and energy revolving, and energy dissolving. And that's what I am. I am a little flower that blossoms for an hour, but in me there's a power that grows on and on. Power is the roots of me, power in the shoots of me, power in the fruit that will pass my seeds on. I am not a somebody. I am not a nobody. I am a cell in one body, filling all the space. All I ever could be, and all I ever should be, and all I ever will be, is here in this place. So that was a song, and it's called I Am, or it's called The Child of the Universe. When I was listening to the song, I was legitly sitting there crying. And it felt like I literally just remembered who I am. The way that I phrase this is like, it's a sense of soul remembrance. It's like you remember who you are. You remember why you were here. You just remember why you were born and what you were meant to do in this life. The soul calling that you have. This deep, deep, deep yearning, this deep manifestation inside that's existing inside as a seed, you know? It just felt like I touched that place so deeply through the song. And I was crying and like just sitting there for hours and crying. And like, of course she, like the band or the woman, she was singing other songs, but I felt like that journey was just so deep for me. I sat there and I felt like I was just this energy that has been transforming, changing shape, sizes, and physical form, but moving through many, many different lives, sometimes as like the wind through the mountains or the river or certain trees and flowers or animals, sometimes men, sometimes women. But this, it's like this same energy that I was aware of and I was just really conscious of that was inside of me. And I started to realize this body is just this physical form that I'm taking on in this lifetime. But this energy, this deep wisdom, this deep knowing, it was existing inside. And that's something that no one could have ever taught me. That's something that I feel like I couldn't read a book and understand. I feel like this is a direct personal energetic experience that each person has to have in order to fully get it, to fully understand it. Like maybe you're listening to me and you get most of what I say, and I still think until you experience something like that, it just changes how you experience yourself. So after this experience, right away the inner knowing inside of me was like, I am going to do coaching. Like I am going to be a coach. This is what I'm meant to do. So before this, I had been doing marketing. I had been pretty much in the business realm, right? And I was too afraid. I said, you know, I'm not ready to be a coach. I'm too young. Who do I think I am to be a coach? I don't have any life experiences. And that was basically all of the beliefs that I have. But in that experience, the direct message was like, you are ready. This is who you are. This is what you're meant to do. And it was just so strong. It took over me. Literally after that experience, I launched my coaching career. And I started coaching people. And really at first I was like, I really don't know who's gonna like get coached by me. And then now, a year and a half later, when I look back at my track record, I realized I've coached way more people than I ever thought I could. I've coached people who are way older than me than I ever thought I could. I thought I was going to coach people who were younger because my limiting belief was that I wasn't old enough. But clearly the path disturbed that belief. It was like, no, most of the people that you're coaching, they're older than you. Seriously, I think 90% of the people that I coach, they're older than me. And that's also when I realized it is not so much about age. It's this whole age thing that has caused a lot of limitation on a person. What it was about when I reflect on it is, number one, it is psychological and spiritual development of each person. Number two, each person has different talent, passion, medicine, gifts that they share into the world. So it doesn't matter so much what age they share this gift at. It is still going to be a gift to other people. It's just that as you age, the gift becomes more refined if you put your heart and soul into that, if you invest in that gift. But, you know, for example, like a singer, right? Like they have a great passion and they sing all the time when they were young, and that's a gift. So it doesn't matter when they started singing at a young age or at an older age. It's just that if they invested all that time along the way, that gift becomes refined and it becomes even better when another person receives it. But the age is not so much the thing, the limiting thing. But that was such a big limiting thing for me. I thought, well, I'm not old enough. I don't have enough experience to be a coach. And then when I was able to overcome this and just launch it and just did it, and then I realized, if it was about age and if it was truly about working with people who are younger than me, then, you know, this wouldn't make sense because 90% of my clients are older than me. So that was a beautiful experience. And I think the lesson that I took from this is, number one, age is not a limitation. Number two, there are so many things that you and I could do. And it doesn't take the things that we think it takes. Like in our mind, we think, oh, well, I need to already have 5 years of experience in order to do this. I need to have this and this to do this. I need to da 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 to do this. But most of the times it's like, all you need to do is to change your belief about the fact that you cannot do it and just give it a go. And it's the same thing for me with content. I was like, oh yeah, well, I need this and this and this in order to do this. I need to learn how to say this and this in order to do this. And then one day I'm like, dude, like this is a huge mind fallacy, thinking that, oh, I need this in order to have this. Not all of the time, right? Everything's situational. But for the most part, when our mind goes down that path, it's pretty much a fallacy. Because most of the times you can just do the thing that you want to do and just go for it. In a lot of spiritual teachings, especially like in Buddhism, right, they say if we go with the mind fallacy of I need to have this in order to do this or to be this, it's like I need to have this in order to be happy. But in Buddhism, the teaching is you have many conditions to be happy already. It's not that you don't have enough conditions to be happy, but it's that you're not aware of all the conditions that you already have to be happy. And so that's why the practices of gratitude is so big, because it makes us aware of all of the things that we already have in our lives that we often take for granted. And I think it's the exact same thing for everything else when it comes to thinking that you need all these things, age, experience, status, money, all these things in order to start this project, this business, to start this podcast, this side business. But really, no. I mean, unless you're needing a lot of capital, that's a different story. But a lot of time it's the emotional, the psychological, the mental, right? That we think we need all these things, but it's actually they're just limiting beliefs. And a lot of times you can just launch and do these things, get experience, learn through trials and errors, and just go for it. This story was shorter than I thought it was gonna be. I really thought I could go on for 2 hours, but my timing is wrong. I feel like I could tell this story many, many times and I would not get bored of it. I feel like each time I tell it, there's gonna be some kind of elements that's gonna be woven into it, and it's gonna feel even more powerful each time I'm connecting with this energy. This is by far one of the most powerful experiences in my life so far, and I'm so immensely grateful for it. And if there are lessons that I could share with you, the gifts that I could share with you through my story is this. If you have a deep calling in your heart that this is something that you've just wanted to do for the spirit of your life, then I really would say to go for it. And it's not easy. Me standing here doing this thing, I don't think that anything is easy, but I think it is well worth it. I think that the journey that you can take to go for that path, to do the thing that calls you, what they call your purpose, your soul calling, I think that journey is extremely worth it, because on that journey, you meet yourself. You meet both your strengths and your weaknesses. You meet the things that are beautiful about you and the things that are wounded inside of you. And you just meet all facets of yourself, and you get to experience, you know, the authenticity, the truth, the essence that is you. And you get to experience that seed that you have inside, right? And I think that's the most wonderful thing. Reading a lot about successful people, I also know that that's something that every person touch within themselves. The most creative artists, the most innovative entrepreneurs, the people that are really at the top of their game, they are in touch with that seed that's in them, and they continue to develop it throughout their lives. Now, not everyone's journey is going to be like related to plant medicine or spiritual, but everybody has their own path. And so it's really just being in touch and discovering that part inside of you. Because I think that's really important. And it is one of the key things when it comes to a sense of self-fulfillment as well, especially if you are somebody who is so keen on learning and self-discovery and understanding yourself, this philosophical, spiritual mind of yours, right? It is going to be extremely fulfilling, and it is going to help you really have that roots and groundedness in your path in life. And I truly, truly believe that. It doesn't take away the challenges. If anything, it adds more, but it is extremely worth it. And I truly think so. I think it develops our character. As we walk on this path, we become the people that we are truly, we're born to be, we're meant to be. And those character traits are, if anything, more valuable than any kind of external circumstances that we can achieve. And I think that's easier said than done. But in the deepest of my heart, that's what I believe. And that's the things that I also strive for in my life, which is I do want to be the best version of myself. And the best doesn't mean that I'm competing with everyone else in life, or I'm better than everyone else, or, you know, I'm constantly beating myself up on the way there. To me, being the best version of myself, and the definition that I want to share with you, is to be the most truest essence of who we are. So if there is the essence where you're like a teacher and you would really develop that essence, or if there was an essence where you're this creative entrepreneur, then you would really give all yourself to that. Or if your truest essence was this artistry, right, this craftsmanship, you would really give yourself all of it to that, because this is your life. It's just a well worth it journey for you to give all of you to you and find a way to make it work and find a way to be able to live with your vocation, with your soul vocation. So I think this path is extremely important for anyone who desires to live a life that is, number one, true to themselves, number two, just feeling so integrated in every step of the way. Because for a lot of people, they sacrifice this part of themselves. They sacrifice the spiritual, the personal essence in order to only achieve external success. I don't think that's wrong. I think that there can be more. I think that there can be this integration of both being spiritually, personally integrated and also achieving external successes if that's what you want. I think that both the internal and the external are important. I don't disregard any of them. I think they're both important. And I think the third lesson that I would want to share with you is sometimes through the difficult times in our lives, especially when we feel really lost, they're actually a gateway to open us up to something way bigger than we could have ever imagined. And this is the way that our spirit, our soul, our ego kind of tricks us. It's like, oh yeah, let me put you in this dark and dangerous place where you feel like shit. But if you can just stick there for a little bit, we're gonna show you heaven on the other side. And I think that that's kind of a lot of the theme sometimes, is we do go through difficult challenges. They're meant to help us grow. And then on the other side is a much more integrated, stronger, healthier, authentic version of ourselves that come out. So I'm gonna leave it at that. If you receive more lessons, insights as you listen to this, please share with me in the comment. Connect with me on social media. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. I also have my podcast. And feel free to reach out to me, share with me your insight. I always love to hear them. I hope that I get to be with you more times again like this. And if you enjoy this video, please share with someone that you love, someone that you think would benefit from this to help my work grow as well as to help others on their path. So thank you so much for watching, and I will see you next time. Bye.